first scripture this evening will be Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Again, that is Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many."
Good evening. If you would turn with me to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Again, that is Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." As we can see from the passage that was just read, we are charged with bringing others to Christ. But a lot of us, especially at the beginning, are not comfortable with starting the initial of bringing people to the gospel. And that's all right, as long as we keep in mind that we are servants and we need to follow God. Turn with me now to Nehemiah chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Again, that's Nehemiah chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when the wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, 'Why is your face sad since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of the heart.' So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies in waste and its gates are burned with fire?' And then the king said to me, 'What do you request?' So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, 'If it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it.'" As we see there, Nehemiah is a servant of the king. He's the cupbearer. And he'd been good enough in the presence of the king and was in good enough standing with the king that he noticed and actually cared that Nehemiah was in a sad state. And seeing that he was in a state he's not normally in, he allowed him to go back to Jerusalem. And when he was heading to Jerusalem as a servant, after you fast forward a few chapters, you see that Nehemiah has transitioned into the main man and is leading the rebuilding efforts of the wall and has devised countermeasures against those that are having ill will against them. Flip over a few chapters to Nehemiah chapter 4, starting in verse 11. And our advisors said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I look and arose the nobles and to the leaders and to the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, for your wives and for your houses. And it happened, when enemies heard that it was known to us that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of the servants worked on construction, while the other half held spears and shields and bows and war armor, and the leaders were behind all those in the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves, so that with one hand they worked construction, and with one hand held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. So this is just one example of a man who was willing to do what he needed to do, and changed from a mere servant of the king to leader of a whole pit of everybody in the city of Jerusalem. Now, there's many other great leaders in the Old Testament between the kings and the prophets, but one of my personal favorites is Joshua. He was the strong, courageous leader that led the people into the Promised Land. But long before he was leading the people into the Promised Land, he was Moses' personal assistant. Turn with me to Exodus 24:12-14. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach them." So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. We also see later that Joshua was one of the 12 spies that went and scouted out the land. It's also worth noting that he's one of the 2 spies that had enough faith and confidence in God that said that they could take the land. Now, after the 12 spies went and came back, they were forced to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And in that 40-year time span, Joshua transitioned from one of Moses' key followers to the leader of the entire people. Who better is there to learn from about following than the 12 and the early Christians? Many of the 12 were fishermen, tax collectors, and otherwise other simple folk who would have only had a basic understanding of the word as opposed to the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the day. It is important to note that they were not perfect in their understanding, especially at the beginning of their tenure with Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John 4, starting in verse 31. Again, that is John 4, starting in verse 31. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." It's seen there that they didn't quite comprehend what was going on, what Jesus was truly talking about. And they had problems with following Jesus' instructions, even up until the time right before Jesus was crucified. Turn with me to Matthew 26, verses 36 through 41. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but your flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went in way and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this is my cup, cannot pass from under me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners." But what is important to take away from all of this is what they did after the crucifixion as they were spread about. Turn with me to Acts 16, starting in verse 23. "And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosened. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" Now we see in that passage that even in their deplorable situation that they were in, they were still setting the example and showing others the way of Christ. And all the apostles around those points were continuing to spread the word and be good examples for everybody, and were persecuted because of this, many of them until their deaths. So in conclusion, even if you're not in the highest of standing like Nehemiah wasn't, or you're not immediately ready to assume a leadership position like Joshua was, or you just don't have the highest base knowledge like many in the first century, as long as we are following what we're supposed to do and are putting our effort forth, we will transition into leaders in the church and can help bring others to Christ.
The Bible reading will be from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.
The second Bible reading for Brevin's talk will come from Philippians 2, 1 through 11. That is Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambitions or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not continue equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, and he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
If you'd like to follow along, turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. That is what we will be reading before Brother Brevin gives us our next talk. It's Romans 12, 1 through 8. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, for we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or if he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness.
Good evening. Welcome you to tonight's service. If you all wouldn't mind, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 30. I'll be touching on that scripture reading in just a minute. So, about a month ago, Mr. Gary Watson came to me and asked me to take part in this particular service. And I agreed. I said, what do I got to lose? You know, for a while, I've been wanting to volunteer and do more to show my leadership in the church. So at first I was, happy and excited, and later, up until about last night, I became worried. Anxiety, man, it really takes over sometimes. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. But in particular, I want to talk about faith over worry. As Christians, we all have struggles, whether it be lust, obsession with money. Sin is sin. And that can put a strain on our relationship with our Father. With me personally, it is fear. I can remember about a year ago, my mom, she had given me this keychain, and it was a cross that said faith over worry. And we read that passage in Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. It's not life more than food. It's not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more than value than they? And which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? That's a passage I have to turn to from time to time. There's also four more verses. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what will we eat, or what shall we drink, or what we will wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That's a passage that I have to turn to from time to time. In the past, fear and worry and anxiety has put a strain and has caused me to not trust in God like I should. Anyone who knows me personally knows that that's just a big struggle that I have. As Christians, we must always remember that God's got it. Worry, the stuff that I've worried about in the past, I look at now, and I think, why was I worried? Everything worked itself out. It always does. And that's just something that we need to overcome and pray more and just put our faith into God fully. People at this church have their own worries themselves, their own struggles, and I can respect that because I've got my own. But that's one thing. Worry is something that I've always struggled with. Pretty soon I'm going to be taking on a new job here, and the last few days I've been worried about, I don't know why, but I worry. I'm human. But that type of behavior is one that we ought to steer away from. In severe cases, it can cause us to have a strain with our relationship with our Father. Just staying on the straight and narrow is always important. I think I lost that keychain, but I wish I had it because I think it may have had that passage that I just read on there. But passages like this, we need to turn to when we're feeling overwhelmed. Life gets in the way. I'm living proof of that. So if you are one of this congregation who does have fear or something is bothering you, there are men, elders of this congregation who you can talk to about your troubles. They will not judge you. And that's another thing I've always worried about is people thinking ill of me. And, you know, I think that's one thing that as we grow older, we tend to put on thicker skin and just not try to worry about what the world thinks so much, as we are not of this world. We are a unit, the Christian family is, and it's a family bigger than any. So if you are struggling with any problems, any sin that has overcome your life, if you are a Christian not living the way you should, won't you come forward now while we stand and while we sing?